afternoon and good evening, actually. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio. How are you doing? Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. And hope to have an interesting show for you this evening. I don't prepare for my show because I like to think about things in advance. Let me tell you a story about a man that was in a speech contest I was in. And I've been kind of practicing it myself. Usually when I prepare for a speech, I write things down or maybe practice it in front of my wife. But sometimes I just wing it. And I like winging it like I do my radio show because why? Because it tends to be more creative that way, and I'm not trying to remember anything. I just branch off into different subjects. I try to keep together. It can be difficult, especially if I branch off a few times, you know, and eventually I'll try to find my way back to the original thought. And I do get lost sometimes, and I hope that's not discouraging for anyone because I'm putting out information that I've learned from other people. In the past many years now, I've been involved with spirituality. I'm not talking about religion. Spirituality. And that is the way forward, in my opinion, because we are spirits in the material world. So I'm going to talk about whatever comes to mind, knowing that you're out there and you're listening, and you could be an extraterrestrial, for all I know, orbiting Earth up there in a spaceship. Maybe one of your favorite things to do, because you enjoy learning, is listening to my radio show and me talking about the universe and the creator of the universe and our mother and father God and who Jesus was and angels. And what a wonderful situation we're a part of, my friends. We live on a planet, which is really not our home, that is rotating through some unseen power that we don't really know and take for granted, right? Rotating at about 600 miles an hour. And the sun just set over there in the distance. But you could say, in other words, that because of the rotation of our planet, the sun disappeared over there instead of the sunset or tomorrow morning when the sun will rise. And instead, we've done almost a half rotation and here comes the sun again. Not only rotation, my friends, but also revolution, revolving around our sun. Isn't that an amazing power? I mean, just think about it for a few seconds. There's some power rotating our planet and revolving it around the sun. How can you just take that for granted? I mean, who do you think you are? A child of God? Yes, that's what you are. That's what you are, my friends. You're a child of the universe. Or to be more specific, you're a child of our sun in our solar system. Children of the sun. Remember that song by Billy Thorpe? Check it out tonight. Please do me a favor. And I can't remember. I'm going to learn that song because I'm learning all kinds of new songs all the time. I know over 150, I would say. Not to mention the ones I learned at church. I'm going to take a drink. But the song, Children of the Sun, he said, there comes a time when everybody, every man, woman, child, feel their own heartbeat as the spaceships come one by one. Just imagine that. They were to come and be in the sky. Believe me, you would feel your heartbeat. You sure would be excited, wondering what they looked like, what their intentions were. And don't worry about the negative stuff like Hollywood, you know, and they paint a picture of them being negative and evil and wanting to destroy Earth. Believe me, if they'd wanted to, they could have done that a long time ago and taken over. Because this is a very beautiful world, you know. I've heard that many times. They say that people that have been abducted or had near-death experiences, they talk about the extraterrestrials and how they're concerned for us treating our planet. It's such a jewel in the universe, and they don't want us to, don't want to see us destroy it, you know, with pollution, polluting the atmosphere, or polluting the waters, or blowing up atomic bombs or any kind of bombs or killing each other. You know, that's kind of against universal law to do that. And the only person we'll have to blame in the end, I mean, you can point fingers on that judgment day, but did you really do your best to try to stop it? Did you try to make the world a better place? Were you praying enough to help mankind to come together, and womankind too, personkind, come together as one, one family, one species here on this planet, which is really not our home? You know where our home is? I've said this before. Now, I want you, please, to use your imagination. There's a big world on fire over there in the distance, 93 million miles away. When you dream at night, those are your spirit eyes. I had an incredible dream last night. I was like swimming in this water, this blue water, and there were sharks. So I thought there would be sharks. I thought I saw a shark fin. So all of a sudden I left the water and I was kind of like flying, I guess. But those are the eyes of the spirit when you dream, because your eyes are closed, right? Your physical eyes are closed. So the dreams that you have are the eyes of the spirit, because we are spirits. There's a spirit inside your body that's going to pop out in my body, too. When we die, when we reach our expiration date, you know, because we all have expiration dates. It could be way out into the future. It could be tomorrow. You could live to be 5 years old. You can live to be just 2 months old. You could live to be 100. But you have an expiration date, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's already been predetermined. Isn't that something? You're going to take a drink. So we are spirits. And when we die, when our bodies reach that expiration date, our spirit pops out of our body. It leaves the body. Usually the two main exit points are the chest or the top of the head. And it goes, depending on your level of evolution, either flies away, flies up. It could stay here on the surface of the earth like ghosts do, you know. Mainly, ghosts are the ones who have suddenly and violently died. Or it could go down underneath the surface of the earth, and there's a tunnel that goes down to the center there where there's huge cavernous areas there with lava, lakes of fire, the really bad people that need some serious rehabilitation. And don't you know, there are some really bad people and have been some bad people over the years. But the ones that do get to fly away, who graduate from this school of learning here on planet Earth and the University of the Universe, they fly up into the clouds. And there's another heaven up there, a very beautiful kind of dimension, if you will. But for those who deserve to get back to the source where you came from before you were born, where you pre-existed prior to being brought to earth by an angel and put in your mother's womb, that world of light over there is a fire that you can live in as a spirit. Okay? Take it from the Reverend Blake. Your spirit is made of light energy, billions of electrons, and you can live in that fire. So like I was asking him, then take a drink. Now that you know that you are a spirit made of light energy, look inside that world of light. I know it's hard to look at with physical eyes, but use your spirit eyes. And when you do, you'll see that it's a world much like planet Earth, with mountains and rivers and lakes. It's a different kind of matter. You have to understand, this matter is physical matter here on Earth. And the surprising thing is that physical matter is actually made of spirit matter. And the matter that exists on the sun is spirit matter. You'll see trees. There are beautiful trees. Trees with the fruit of life. The trees of life have 12 kinds of fruit. Each month, they sprout new fruit and different fruits. I've learned what some of them are from the books I've read about heaven. Some really, one that looks like a pear, one that looks like grapes, huge transparent grapes, some that look like apples, and they all taste beautiful, beautifully, which begs the question, hey, can we really eat in heaven? Well, the answer is yes. You maintain a lot of the same characteristics of the physical body there. But the thing about the spirit is a configuring spirit. In other words, you can change it to whatever you want it to look like. But basically, the most common mold, M-O-L-D, is the age 30 mold, you know. So if you were old here on Earth and you had glasses and your teeth were kind of rotten, for your missing teeth, when you get to heaven, your teeth will look perfect. And you won't need glasses. And there's angels everywhere. You remember. There'll be a remembering because we were made to forget when we were born into this world. Seriously, I'm going to take a drink. We were made to forget, my friends. Why? Because this planet in the University of the Universe is a very special learning environment. And when we are born, you remember when you were born? Why not? Huh? Why not? I don't remember either. I'm just kidding. But when you're born, you pass through what is known as a veil called the River of Oblivion, where the memories of your past lives and your access to universal knowledge are erased. Very specifically for a reason. Because if you were to remember who you were, where you came from, how many past lives you had, you couldn't live in this environment. This is a very low category of evolution planet where we're competing with Mother Nature, if you will. Animals feed each other. Hello. We're not at the top of the food chain also, by the way. And there's a lot of ways to die. You know that. You can get struck by lightning. You could get killed by a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, which happen all the time, right? Volcanoes spewing their lava and ash. Tsunamis. You could drown. You could get eaten by a shark. Like that dream I had last night. You could get eaten by a bear or a cougar, a mountain lion, a tiger. Or you could get gored by a bull. So we're competing with Mother Nature here. In other words, there's a lot of competition going on here on planet Earth, and it's not just among human beings. You know what I'm saying? So it's no wonder we've had so much war before in the past, and war is still going on today, because all that weighs heavy on our psyche. I think every one of us that are born into this world, you ever seen a baby, how innocent and beautiful and loving they are. Well, then we become kind of changed, so to speak, by the world. But that's just the way it is. It's not really your fault. Some people, you know, they get raised by their parents, and maybe they're abused, and they're not given a lot of love. And they might turn out to be someone like a Hitler, or Saddam Hussein, or whomever, you know, Napoleon. Even though Napoleon was kind of an enlightened fellow, really, because of all the war that he created. You want to take a drink? The Roman Empire. Think about how they conquered and all the people they killed back then to dominate and oppress people. Alexander the Great, the Turkish people. I forget the name of the Ottoman Empire. And guess what? You knew it. In order to survive in this world, you need money, right? And there's people that have money and some people that don't have money. And then the in-between, but basically the fighting, like it says in that song, Us and Them by Pink Floyd, the fighting is because some people don't have anything and they want what their neighbor has. So they kill the neighbor to take what they have. In other words, you know what I mean. That's what the song, the lyrics of the song, Us and Them, I forget the exact lyrics, but that's what they say the fighting's all about. The haves and the have-nots, in other words. Can you dig it? I mean, it's not an ideal situation, but this planet is a lower evolutionary category planet. I'm going to take another drink. It's a number one on the evolutionary scale, and the scale goes up all the way to a number nine. Nine is the number of the universe. Number nine, number nine, number nine. A number nine planet usually houses a race of extraterrestrials that are extremely enlightened and advanced, both spiritually and technologically. And their spaceships can traverse the universe in very quick fashion, and they can go interdimensional into the parallel universe, the spiritual universe, where you travel by thought, and their spaceship and themselves are able to disassemble and reassemble their molecules as appropriate to make that change, and their technology is able to assist in that, usually through either electrical stimulation or some kind of special heat application. And their electromagnetic and anti-gravity propulsion systems also assist in those endeavors. Let me take a drink. And all the other categories in between are different levels of evolution. So let's say maybe you've had 25 past lives before, and you wanted to increase your soul's evolution, your spiritual development, so you agree to go back. Let's say you worked your way up the ladder, you know, had those past lives, and you've learned a lot, you paid off karmic debt, and you got to a category six planet. Maybe you're like one of those beautiful gray alien beings, you know, with big dark eyes, big heads. They look so cool. The taller ones do, you know. They all look cool. And they have their own spaceships. They know how to fly all around, you know, in space too. And they love each other. They adore each other. Not like here on Earth, you know. It's kind of, it's a lot of, I think the best way to put it is, people don't love each other as much as they should. When you think about, hey, I'm alive right now, this very second, and you are too. Tomorrow you might not be. So isn't that reason enough to love somebody? Knowing that you might hate somebody, or I don't even like using the word hate, but what would you feel? How would you feel if they died tomorrow? Would you feel happy? Well, then you're probably going to go to hell, my friend. I'm just joking, but you might, you know, because that's the kind of attitude that needs some serious rehabilitation, you know. We should love each other. There's no reason not to. I mean, that's the future. There is no future in hate and destruction. You know what that's going to end up in? Us destroying ourselves and then probably being born again on another lower level of evolution planet where there's more war and killing. I want to get away from that cycle. Anyone else with me? Or do you want to keep on killing each other? You enjoy that? Some people do. Usually the younger souls, you know, not the older souls. I'm going to take a drink. So you work your way up to a Category 9 planet. As I was saying, these civilizations, the ones that are out there, are extremely intelligent. I mean, extremely intelligent. You think you're intelligent, or the human race is intelligent? You know, we've made a lot of advances in our technology over the last, 150 years? Now, what would you say about a civilization that's been in existence for maybe hundreds of millions of years, even before our galaxy was created? Does that make sense to you? And of course there's life out there. You know, even if it happened, all this life here on Earth happened by accident. The insects, the reptiles, the birds, the fish, the amphibians, the mammals. Well, if it happened by accident here, logically it could happen by accident anywhere. And please don't tell me that there are any other planets besides our own solar system, the ones in our own solar system, because they're discovering them every day. I mean, but they don't need to discover anymore to do that, right? Every star in the evening sky is a sun with planets revolving around it. And if we had a really powerful telescope, you could see that. It looks like a horseshoe with the sun in the middle. Did you know that? Even though science and astronomy hasn't come out and said, guess what? Each star in the evening sky is actually a solar system with planets. So if all this life on Earth could happen by accident, logically it could happen by accident up there, over there. But if there is a creator of the universe that started it all with the Big Bang, and the universe began forming itself one solar system after another, and then after so many solar systems gathered into a galaxy, then a new galaxy began forming itself one solar system after another. Meanwhile, many, 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 many years go by. From here to the center of the universe is about 15 billion light years. You know how much that is? That's a long, long way. The closest sun to our sun, our solar system, is, well, it's two of them, Alpha and Proxima Centauri. They're about four or five light years away. Just to give you an idea how far that is, you remember the Voyager spacecraft? They were launched in 77 and 78. And now they've exited our solar system, and they're about at least a billion miles away from Earth, traveling at 40,000 miles an hour. And you know how long it would take for them to get to Alpha Centauri, 4 light years away? Still about another 10, 15,000 years. Well, how long do you think it would take them to get to 15 billion light years to the center of the universe? So suffice it to say, the universe is an incomprehensibly large place. But don't worry your minds. I won't worry mine. Enjoy the ride. This is great. I'm going to take a drink. You, my friend, are co-creator God in the making. That was part of the Supreme Creative University's plan that you would be like him or her. Guess what? The universe is male and female. Sorry to burst anybody's bubble. The alpha and omega, the yin, the yang, the positive, the negative, parts of the whole. You need a male and a female to create children right here on Earth. And as it is on Earth, so it is in other places. And the creator in his her infinite wisdom as part of the plan to grow his herself. Is there anything greater than growth, my friends? Is there anything greater than growth? No. There's nothing greater than growth. Period. So the plan was, well, let me explain it this way. The creator, who existed before the Big Bang, when there was nothing but darkness and silence, the creator is a spirit, basically, just like we have a spirit in our bodies. A spirit that has lived forever, no beginning, no ending. So as part of that plan to grow the universe, the spirit commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created all the suns and the planets and the moons. The second force was the force that created all the animal and plant life. The third force was the force that created all the sentient bodies out there, human beings, different variations of human beings, types with blue skin and green skin, different eyes, different ears, different heights, thousands and thousands and thousands of different varieties of sentient beings, my friends. And in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, there are approximately 27,000 beings. It would blow your mind. It would blow our minds to pieces if we were in their presence. I mean, besides the fantasy movies like Star Wars or Star Trek, I mean, I'm talking about the real thing. These are powerful, powerful beings that if you were in the presence, it'd be like you getting run over by an M1 tank. You know what I'm saying? You gonna take a drink? But they are loving beings, and they have a spirit in their bodies, too. And they have eternal souls, in other words. Back to what I was saying, we are co-creator gods in the making. If you are alive, if you know that you are really alive, if you have a brain and a heart that pumps blood throughout your body independently of your will, you are a co-creator god in the making. You are alive. Some people that lived, were alive yesterday are not alive today. We are alive, and we are co-creator gods in the making who, when we transition to the afterlife, later on, depending on our level of evolution, we will reincarnate, most of us, on another planet elsewhere in the universe of a different level of evolution, to continue evolving our souls until we get to that point after so many lives when we have reached that level of purification, when together with our soulmates, now here comes the part that might be difficult for you to understand, then take a drink. You can have a patch. Buy yourself a patch of infinite space. No, I'm just kidding. You can have a patch of infinite space out there to create your own solar system. How would you like that with your soulmate? I'm not talking about a job. I'm talking about reality, something that the creator has given us. As I said, not to be the creator, but to be like the creator, to utilize those cosmic forces of the universe. And how do you think we do that? What does the Bible say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's how. That's why it behooves us to use our words wisely, my friends, because they can either create or destroy. Pretty much. I mean, there is a neutral kind of thing too, but you either have to speak words for good or bad, but you're going to be held accountable if you speak a lot of negativity, swear words, you know, in my opinion. I mean, I think it's funny sometimes when I hear people swear, and I have sworn, and I probably will swear again, but it really shows a lack of intelligence, in my opinion. No offense. I try not to judge people, but you know what I mean. I hope you do. I'm going to take a drink. So when we reach that level of being a co-creator God along with our soulmate, and this is the part I don't quite understand, I'm still trying to learn. Our soulmate, it's possible that when we were first created by our mother and father God in heaven, on the sun, because we were all born, our souls and spirits were born on not necessarily this sun, but perhaps another sun, that we were born as two parts of the whole, male and female. Kind of like a brother and a sister, but not the same thing. And ultimately, we go our separate ways, and when we hook up back together, when we reach that level of purification, that co-creator God status, where with our soulmates, then we can create by a merging of the spirits, synchronization of thought, and speaking the words to move those cosmic forces to start the creation process. And we can also have spirit children. How many people here on planet Earth? 7 billion. Could you handle that? That's a lot of people, right? Every single human being on Earth is a child of God, with no exceptions. Doesn't matter what you heard about only sons and daughters in the past, I'm telling you, respectfully, if you disagree, that there are no only sons and daughters here on planet Earth. You have to understand that some people kind of led us down the wrong path. They didn't have our best interests in mind. But heck, Jesus showed up, right? He taught us how to pray, Our Father. Does that mean anything to anyone? Our Father? It should have been our mother and father, but our mother and father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He said it on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, that's a no-brainer. Everyone should be able to remember that going into the future, going forward, that we are all the children of the Mother and Father God. Because Father God, believe me, when you meet him one day, and you will, you'll stand before the Father God. On that day of judgment, on your expiration date, when you'll be held accountable for your life, and you'll have your life review, and you'll see your whole life, everything, from the moment you were born until the day you died, whether you might have been in a car wreck and a tumbling massive wreckage and catching on fire and your body's thrown from the car with a gaping head wound, and all of a sudden you're in the presence of the Father God, and you saw your whole life from the beginning to the end, and then you'll be asked, well, how did you do? Let me take a drink. Did you love people? Did you pray for people? Did you do any acts of kindness, any random acts of kindness? Were you kind to animals? Did you try to be kind? Were you generous? Did you give what you had to other people? Did you share? Did you speak good words? And realize the importance of your words and how words can cut people like a knife, or it can raise people up when you use praise and say good things about them, compliment them, And that life review can happen in many different ways, but in the end, the surprising thing is you're going to judge yourself. I mean, you could be judged depending on, in most cases, shall I say, but when you stand in front of the Father God, and then you see in that throne room that there's a throne next to his, and there's a beautiful female spirit there, a lady of light, beautiful, beautiful, so beautiful female spirit. And that's the Mother God, who is kind of ignored in our society because we're still kind of held in a, or let me put it this way, we're stuck in the thoughts and the traditions of the past, the men in this paternal society we live in who wanted to dominate women. And even now today, they're treated like animals in some countries around the world. The mothers of our children, it's unbelievable. I saw a pregnant woman today and I thought to myself, that's a miracle, you know, that baby growing inside of her body. And how we treat women, it's really just all a part of our evolution. It's significant in as much as that's what evolution is all about. You know, back to the life review. And I'm sure we won't be the same like in 100 years from now, 100 years from now, 200 years, 1,000 years. We'll make changes. But we judge ourselves, and really we're our own worst critics. There might be family members, deceased family members around watching this review process. There might be Jesus who died on the cross, other famous spirits, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible. Ancestors you never even knew you had, that through the family tree went back as far as thousands of years, but you're all related. Maybe it could be, I'm not quite sure, just on your own, but you're going to realize the mistakes you made in this life. And you're going to be able to live it from a three-person perspective, from the way you are right now, kind of, but you'd be, you know, a spirit, pure spirit, watching your life as you, the way you were back then, and the people that you interacted with. You'd be able to feel their emotions. Let's say you hit somebody when you're 5 years old, punch them in the face. You'll feel that pain. You'll feel their emotions. And after your whole life of you, like I mentioned, then you have to make a decision on whether or not you successfully graduated from this existence, and whether or not you're ready to evolve to the next higher step. And that will be quite an amazing time, my friends. Co-creator gods of the universe. And why, again, are we striving to get to that status? Because we are providing the creator what he, she desires, growth. All of our life, all of our lives, all of our experience assimilated into the ocean of the Creator Spirit like a drop of water to provide that growth, that need that he, she desires. And the Creator of the universe is out there. I can see a star over there in the distance. Creator, and it's easy to talk to the Creator. But let me go back to what I was saying about the Father God. One thing that the people who wrote the Bible and the way people felt back then, and they believed the world was flat, by the way, and the earth was at the center of the solar system, center of the universe. That's the way they thought 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? then Columbus in 1492 proved that, or eventually, shortly thereafter, that the world was not flat, that it was indeed round. And Copernicus proved that the Earth revolves around our sun, and our sun around the Milky Way galaxy, and our galaxy around the center of the universe. What a situation we're in right now, not knowing there's life out there. There really is. I mean, we're kind of stuck in a gap. And E.T.'s not showing up because we're a violent species. And I kind of object to that. We're still blowing people up and killing people left and right, people that have families, women and children, doesn't matter. All the meantime, that's stopping us from making contact with the E.T.'s that I want to make contact with. So in other words, the people out there who are running the world are leading us like sheep into the slaughterhouse. But we need to rise up, my friends. We need a revolution, but more than that, we need a spiritual revolution. More than any other kind of revolution, a spiritual revolution to increase our spirituality, to evolve our souls, because it all goes back to this. I'll say it again. We are spirits in the material world, but don't be afraid. It's not taboo to say things like that. I'm going to take a drink. You could have many past lives. The younger souls only have a few. I venture to say that a lot of the problems that we see nowadays here on planet Earth are caused by the younger souls. And again, what determines a younger soul? Probably not many past lives. Of course, like I mentioned also, we can't remember who we are, where we came from, that we are souls and spirits. The soul is the brain of the spirit, just like you have a brain for your physical body. But once we know who we are, then we can make those strides. I'm really lucky to be alive today, my friends. I'll tell you the truth. I could have died many times before, and I know there are other people like that, too. And perhaps that's why I decided to get on the pathway of enlightenment and spirituality, because I'm smart enough to realize that tomorrow might not be here for me. In fact, the next second might not be here for me. I am alive, like that song by Gary White, My Love is Alive. My love is alive. I think it's time to get ready to realize just what I've found. I have been only half of what I am. It's all clear to me now. My heart is on fire. My soul's like a wheel that's turning. My love is alive. My love is alive. Yeah, yeah. Well, let me tell you about the creator of the universe, what he, she looks like. Because you need to know who you're praying to, right? Just like the mother and father God, you can pray to them. They're over there on their thrones, and they're very beautiful, and they emanate a light that would be so blind. It is so blinding and powerful. I can't explain to you this, how powerful their light is, because they're growing. They're light beings that are growing. And does that make sense? If you're a light being and you grow your light, then your light's going to become really bright, right? And we are beings of light. Your spirit shines with a certain intensity of light. And you'll see that when you pop out of your body. But our mother and father God, if you get in their presence, like in the throne room, on that world of light over there, usually spirits show up in the outskirts of heaven, outside the holy city, among the trees and the valleys and the rivers. And you'll see that you're on kind of like solid ground. And you might be approached by some really ancient spirits like Abraham. He might offer you a golden goblet with the water from the river of life. and say, here, drink. And he's a barrel-chested man, I understand. I've read about a big man, the father. But he's like us, you know, just a child of God also. More advanced, yes, for sure, because, well, I mean, he lived many thousands of years ago, and he's been there in heaven all this while. And all the other patriarchs of the Bible, you see them. But one way to get rid of the past life that you just lived and any negativity associated with that is to drink from the river of life, to take a dip in the water, which is, you have to understand the properties of spirit matter are different than physical matter. So you could jump in a lake or a river down underneath the surface of the water. Of course, you're not going to drown because you're already a pure spirit, no longer a body, physical body. You can see the beauty of the water, the rainbow colors, the prisms in the water. And there's lots of activities going on there. And there's angels flying around all the while, singing and praising the Creator for the miracle of all creation. Lots of activities, music everywhere, everything harmonious, all the music harmonious, not one discordant note. There's no darkness in heaven. There's roadways made of gold. There's silver fountains and precious jewels. It's beautiful, as beautiful as you can imagine. And guess what? It is a lot of fun to be there, from what I understand. It's going to be a party. It's going to be wonderful. They're going to have feasts all the time. People just like you and I who have lived on this planet, who walked this earth hundreds and thousands of years ago from every culture, will be there, all praising the Creator of the universe for the miracle of their existence, their very existence, and the Creator who was able to create something out of nothing. That is constantly going to be blowing our minds, and it should right now even blow our minds, how you can create, how something, a being could create something out of nothing. Because at one time, nothing existed. I'm going to take a drink. So the Creator is everywhere. But the Creator also travels around this whole universe by thought and can be in any place at any time and resembles kind of like an aurora borealis, a huge field of energy with all the colors of the rainbow. And picture this, if you will, like in The Wizard of Oz, a head inside that energy field. But the Creator, you know how they say that if you look on the face of God, you won't be able to live? It's kind of like that with the Creator, because you're dealing with a being who has created all these different sentient beings. Put a little spark of his divinity in each sentient being, the lamp of the soul. As I said, we all have eternal souls, all the sentient beings. And the eyes of the Creator of the universe are beautiful and loving, but also terrifying. That's why some people don't survive. Well, let me rephrase that. They say that people can't survive because if you behold that omnipotence and omniscience, unless you are sufficiently developed to withstand that, and if you think the Mother and Father God's light is bright, and brilliant, and glorious, just imagine the Creator of the universe's light. And of course, he, she knows how to withhold it. You know, to be able to talk with you, kind of like on a one-on-one level. So imagine a head in that energy field, an electrical being, if you will, so loving. I mean, the Creator knows everything. Knows how many hairs you have on your head, how many grains of sand are on a beach in New Zealand or on a beach in Australia. Imagine that. how many grains of sand on a beach anywhere around the world? And that's only one planet. It's a hard concept to understand, knowing everything. And omnipotence, meaning power to do anything, my friends. Power to create other worlds, other bodies. And the creator is the creator of bodies, all kinds of different bodies. Think of all the life here on Earth, over a million types of insects. The creator made each and every one of those. It didn't happen by accident. But even if they did, then those insects could exist on another planet out there. One of those many planets we're discovering each and every day, right? But you know, from the first solar system that was created towards the center of the universe, the creator would take the liberty, being omnipotent and omniscient, to create life there and life everywhere. Just because a planet might have different atmospheres, gaseous properties, doesn't mean that there's no life as we know it there. Well, let me rephrase that. Maybe we wouldn't know that there was life of that particular type, that we couldn't comprehend different forms of life. And that's the way it is. We just don't know. I've got 1 minute, so I'm going to say a prayer to the Creator. Please feel free to pray to the Creator of the universe at any time. Go straight to Him. You don't need an intermediary. Creator, thank you for another day of life, for the beauty everywhere, the wonder, the beauty of this world, this jewel in the universe. Thank you. Thank you for my life. Please bless us all your children here on Earth, and protect us and help us to evolve. Things go better with you, Creator. Things definitely go better with you. You make everything better. Help us in any way we need it. Thank you for everything. We love you. Amen. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.